JB Minjay Savitri, everyone. I'm Thinmori Soundarajan, and this is the podcast, Cast in the United States with First Post. Today's episode is a conversation with Suresh Atri. Suresh is an American Ambedkarite leader whose leadership is impactful both in the anti-caste movement and in tech. Today, he is here to talk about his experiences of caste in American universities and caste in friendships. Welcome, Suresh.
Thank you for having me, Jabim Jab Savitri.
So, Suresh, I wanted to ask you, I mean, many North American universities are very immigrant-heavy and South Asian, and I wanted to see what was your experience amongst your peers?
Sure. Yeah, and thanks for bringing this question up. I feel this is important to talk about the academia here. In the U.S., we have seen what's happening in Cisco and caste in general in the tech sector. What folks know more is what happens in the industry when people are in the workforce. But in my experience, this discrimination happens before our folks even enter the workforce when they are preparing to go into the workforce in schools. So I had a very troubling casteist interaction with one of the caste Hindus back in school. So what happened was, on one particular day, me and a bunch of other fellow Indian students, we were working in a lab in the summers. We had a summer job / internship, and it was a pretty diverse lab where we had students from all over the world. We had Chinese students, Indians, Americans, Brazilians, Europeans. It was a mixed bunch. One day it so happened that after the lab was about to close, for some reason in the lab it was just Indians remaining who were working at the time. Maybe we were finishing up a work, or I think we were doing a little bit of overtime. But this is a while ago. So what happened was, when all the other non-Indian students exited the room, the lab, one PhD student from Kerala, he started talking about Indian politics, Indian culture in general. And then he was joined by another student who was a master's student. While they were talking about Indian culture in general, they switched to speaking in Hindi because they knew that nobody else in the room was a non-Indian. All the others were Indians. While they were going about talking about the Indian culture, suddenly this guy, who was doing his PhD, he switched the conversation to caste. He started talking about his casteist ancestry, and he started talking about his proud Nambudri root. So I remember that he was proud to be a Nambudri Brahmin. And he quickly went from his proud casteist heritage that in his mind was superior to berating and insulting the Dalits. So he started using words like, you know, this is great that we don't have these Dalits, these folks who seek reservation or affirmative action in India, who seek these facilities in India. It's great that we don't have these people to pollute the US campuses in the American universities. And then he was joined by another student. This student was doing his master's. He said, oh, you know what? Don't worry about it. These folks are not meritorious enough, not brainy enough to be able to even come to the United States in the first place to study on these campuses. And even if they somehow manage to come here, because they're not capable enough, they'll just fail all these academic courses and they'll never complete the curriculum. And they'll just end up working in blue collar jobs here. And or maybe they'll go back. And then to this guy said, oh yeah, you know, that's great. And then he used the word, these lower caste scum should remain back in India, and they should do the jobs that they have been relegated to, and that'll be good. They shouldn't come here because they don't deserve to be here. So I was listening and I was reading the room. I was trying to look at the face of other Indian students who were also listening to this exchange, and most of them were not reacting. You know, they were just going about doing the job, pretending as if nothing's happening. And my feelings were going from, you know, shock to horror to anger. And, you know, I'm listening to these two guys and they continue berating and insulting the Dalits by saying, oh, you know, I'm glad that these come, don't come here. And if they do, they're not smart enough. And, you know, so they're demonizing these Dalits. And it was a terrible exchange. So I reached a point where I couldn't bear to listen anymore. So I decided to insert myself in their dialogue. And I said, hey, guys, you know, we are all working here in this lab. Why are you trying to be casteist monsters? So I chose my words carefully to challenge them and to get them to stop. So the moment I said this, both of them, they were shocked. And they looked at me and they said, well, why do you care? That's when I realized that I now have the opportunity to try to change their understanding of Dalits and let's see if that works. So I told them, you know, you guys are talking about Dalits who are not brainy enough, not intellectually capable enough to be in this country and, you know, go ahead and get a degree from a US university. I'm here to tell you that I do care because, as you said, why do you care? I'm a Dalit. And I knew the second guy, the guy who was doing his master's, a little bit more than I knew the guy who was doing his PhD. And I knew his grade point average because he would tell me. I knew his academic coursework grades because he would casually mention that to me. So I told him, look, you are at a grade point. I think he was like 3.3 GPA at the time. And I am almost 4. I'm at 3.9 GPA. So by every objective measure of educational outcomes, I am better than you. And I kept telling him that I am better than you. I have more intellectual ability than you based on this university system. And that, when I said that, he was shocked. He was red-faced. So I told both of them, you guys have an outdated, casteist, monstrous belief that folks who are Dalits cannot come here in the first place. And even if they do, they won't be able to pass this. And I told them, I'm here to tell you, I am getting better grades than you. And no, not just grades. You guys don't do anything outside of academics. I am a very active participant in a bunch of student organizations on campus, and I'm doing a lot of extracurricular and co-curricular activities. So in every objective measure, I'm better than you. So maybe now is the time for you to realize what you're saying is outdated, it is cruel, and it is wrong. It's morally wrong. We all are equal. And by the way, this university does not allow for discrimination. This campus does not allow for discrimination. So when I made this statement, both of them were, they went from being shocked that they were challenged in this discourse to being flabbergasted. They were completely flabbergasted. And then the guy who was doing his PhD, who started this conversation, he was red-faced in anger. This guy was doing his master's. He went from being shocked to flabbergasted to just embarrassed. And from there on, he didn't say a word. He was so flustered that he didn't know what to say, how to react. But this PhD guy, he had so much vitriol, so much venom in him that he started saying, you guys have also come up to this campus. Now you're trying to emulate us. So I told him, no, I am actually better than you. At least I'm free from this casteist mentality and this slavery that you have in your mind. What a terrible way to live. You know, what a reduced way to live your life. And you come here in this US, in this country, in the United States, and you're talking about caste. If you're so happy, why don't you go back? So when I tried to challenge him and I tried to tell him that he was wrong, he started getting more angry. And then at that point, his caste pride was kicking in and he was, you know, I could see he was clenching his fists. He was really mad and, you know, he couldn't do anything to challenge me. And that's why he was getting angrier by the minute. So we started having this exchange that almost went an altercation. And, you know, he tried to badmouth me. He tried to abuse me. And I said, just stop right here. I'm not going to have any of this. This is not your village where your ancestors dominate. This is the United States. If you go further, I want you to know that this university has a strong commitment to equity and diversity. And if you say anything further, this matter is going to the university administration. So he, at that point, did not realize that I was telling him that he needs to stop. But he was so angry and it felt like his casteist ego was so bruised that for him, it was like, how dare you, Dalit, challenge me? So this master's guy told him, hey, you need to stop. And then, you know, this may go to the university authorities and we don't want that. Let's walk away. So he essentially grabbed this PhD guy out of the room with him. And then, you know, with them, I followed all the other Indian students as well. And these other fellow Indian students, when I told them I'm a Dalit, they all looked at me as if they were not expecting that. They were all shocked as well. So a bunch of them exited the room. And I was just standing there, just finishing up my work. And then there were two other students who were standing in the room, listening to all of this quietly. They did not say a word. They did not bat an eyelid. They did not react. Then they came up to me and they said, hey, brother, that was brave, but you shouldn't have done that. So I said, okay, you called me a brother. Are you guys Dalits too? Because the way they approached me, the way they were talking to me, I sensed that they had some sense of empathy about this whole altercation that had just happened. And then they said, yes, we are Dalits. And they happened to be from the outskirts of Hyderabad. And they, at the time, it was Andhra Pradesh before the state became Telangana. So they were Telugu students. And they said, yes, we are Dalits as well. So I asked them, hey, how come you guys were listening to all of this silently? Why did you guys not react? And then they said, brother, you do not want any of this. Trust me, these people have a very strong circle. And now that you told themselves you're Dalit, they will ostracize you. And from the Indian student community. And I told them, I do not care. You cannot stay silent and listen to this casteist abuse. And they said, yeah, but you know, we don't want this. We avoid all of that. And I said, but what are you so afraid of? Then they said, you know, if we out ourselves, if we reveal our identity, then our roommates, our Telugu roommates will kick us out. And I said, what do you mean they'll kick you out? They said, well, when we came to the United States to do our master's, we were looking for accommodation. And it is natural that you tend to go with folks who speak the same language, are from a similar background and culture, because it's easier to live. Because remember, we don't have any family here. We don't have anybody that we know. So obviously, you know, naturally, we want to stay with somebody who understands us, is from the same geographical area. And I understood that. So they said, but the problem was that the folks that we found room to live with, they were Telugu, but they told us from day one that they would only allow people from the upper castes, or, you know, I call them as oppressor castes, to live with them. They would not allow any Dalits to live with them. So they asked them, what is your caste? So these two Dalit Telugu students said they lied about their caste so that they would be able to get an accommodation with fellow Telugu students on an American university. And I was shocked when I heard that. So they said, look, they have the name on the lease for the apartment. So they own the lease. And if they find out about our caste, they'll kick us out the same day, because they told us they will not allow Dalits or other lower castes to live with them because they wouldn't want to be polluted. So I said, how are you guys living? They said, you know, we have essentially blinded ourselves, and we do not care. Whenever they bring up any casteist discourse, we just go about our business. We live in the house. We do our homework. We do our academic coursework, and we do our work. And within a semester, we'll graduate and off we go. So I said, after you graduate, would you care about your identity? Would you reveal it if somebody is abusing the Dalits in general? Then they said, no, because the Telugu community is very strong in the tech circles, in the tech profession, and they will use those connections to get a job. And if anybody in the Telugu community finds out that they are Dalits, it is going to have major, major repercussions for their professional career as well. So what was shocking to me was that, yes, they were silently suffering casteist abuse by pretending to hide their identity, by pretending to be what they were not. And then also, they were already scared before they were even going to enter the workforce, because they knew that even if they outed their identity after they graduated, or they revealed their identity, you know, they're alleviating the burden that was burdening them, because I could tell when they were talking to me, they felt burdened by those lies or by the burden of hiding their identity. So I asked them, if you could release it when you graduate, you would do that? And they said, no, because we want to make sure we have a good career. We want to use their connections to get a job and then stay working. If we out ourselves, they will kick us out from their cliche tech circle as well. So that whole incident was shocking to, you know, to hear from them.
It is shocking, and it is outrageous what people are saying out loud. And you really use the best phrase here, Suresh. These people were casteist monsters. And, you know, the thing that is so remarkable is that there was not just one Dalit. There were actually many Dalits in that room. And the arrogance of the dominant caste students was that they assumed that there was none in that space. So I'm so glad to hear of your courage, Suresh, and how bravely you confronted these people. And I am totally here for it, and I'm sure our listeners are too. It is also poignant to hear about, you know, many of our students who are first-generation learners who are dreamers, and they're here on the basis of those dreams to free themselves and their families. And they would rather hide than jeopardize those dreams. And so I just think the whole thing is, you know, really remarkable and painful, but really, you know, such a common situation that I'm really glad that you shared this story. I also, though, want to go a little bit deeper in on understanding dominant caste students and who they are. Because there can be assumption that only first-generation students who are coming directly from India are the casteist ones. But I know that there's actually a lot of casteism, even in second-generation students like myself.
I actually experienced caste discrimination as someone who grew up here in the United States in my university. This really speaks to something that Maya spoke about in her episode, which is that parents are teaching their children to be casteist. So second-generation people push casteist ideas on all South Asian students, not even realizing how much bigotry they're pushing. So I remember in my undergrad at Berkeley, I would get so harassed by other dominant caste Indian students who would say, oh my gosh, you're so whitewashed. Why don't you go to temple? Or why are you eating meat? Only Americans eat meat. You know, weren't you raised properly? And they would just say these idiotic things like that. And I would just look at them and I would give them a withering stare. And I would just be like, what are you talking about? You know, I'm Dalit. We are not vegetarian. We are non-veg. And I don't go to temple because I don't believe in the caste system. And I am looking at my own religious practices before I want to adopt any religious practices. And I say that because, you know, college is such a formative time for you as a person, and it's where you're finding your identity. And for a lot of Americans, it's where they explore and they experiment. And I think for caste oppressed students, you know, on top of wanting to have the other experiences that other undergrads are having, we're also having to fend off these attacks that are very detrimental to us being able to have just a peaceful education. And, you know, I mean, none of the experiences I had were things that, you know, I necessarily wanted to report. But, you know, I do know that in our work around the caste survey, we found that 1 out of 3 Dalits experienced some form of caste discrimination. And there was a very, you know, poignant story of a young woman who faced sexual assault and who was targeted because she was Dalit. And there was very little recourse because caste wasn't a protected category at her university. So these inter-caste relationships between students and the lack of, you know, caste-oppressed faculty that people can turn to mean there's like a very vulnerable population of caste-oppressed students that are facing these highly discriminatory environments without a lot of policy remedies. And that can lead to, you know, and Suresh, you've spoken about this, you know, these casteist networks create casteist alumni networks that create, you know, casteist industries. And I'm wondering, Suresh, you know, in kind of pivoting away from education and looking a little bit at caste in tech, I'm wondering if you can talk about your experiences with contractors from IBM that were Brahmin and, you know, were casteist in the shared lunchroom.
Yeah, certainly. You know, so what happened was that we, our company, signed a big implementation, a tech implementation, software implementation contract with IBM. And it's like, the contract was structured in a way that it was IBM's responsibility to staff the resources needed and get the work delivered. So in that sense, our company had no decision or say in the hiring of these contractors. It was totally IBM's responsibility. So IBM brought in over a dozen contractors into our office, and incidentally, all of them were sitting on my floor where I used to sit, and not too far from my sitting area. And what I noticed was that in the break room, you know, and we had quite a big of a break room where you could go for coffee, snacks, tea, and whatnot. And these 6-7 of them, they would congregate in the break room when they were getting the coffee, and they would make all these casteist jibes on lower caste, on Dalits. And I was again shocked to hear that. And they would speak in Hindi, and they would be loud, and they would be oblivious to the other folks in the room. And some of them were Indians as well, like myself. But they would go about making these casteist jibes and remarks on Dalits, you know, without any sense of morality or any sense of shame. They would just say, oh, you know, and they would talk about their Brahmin identity. They would start by making comments like, oh, you know what, I'm a Saraswat Brahmin. And then somebody would say, yeah, they, you know, I'm an Ayyar, and, you know, they would talk about their subcaste and sublineages within the Brahmin student, which to me was quite amusing to hear them say that while they would talk about projects. What was shocking was they would then talk about Dalits and say, you know what, this is good that we only have Brahmins in this project. We don't have Dalits here. And then they would say, yep, you know, they just belong to our offices back home. They shouldn't come here. And they would be so loud when they would make these statements. It was quite shocking to hear what they said. And what I realized was that a company like IBM, a large multinational company, has then failed to institute policies and procedures to ensure that their employees affirm to the principles of equality of human dignity and do not practice such kind of casteism or any sort of inequality or injustice report to their peers. when they would make comments like, oh, you know, only Brahmins are staffing this project, that was clear. It was clear to me that they were trying to either systematically shut down a Dalit, or they already had shut down a Dalit from working on this project, which was quite prestigious for IBM and also for all the professionals who were going to work on that, because it was very high visibility and they would get to work on some of the most advanced technologies. And that is what I saw and heard in my own office.
And it's so interesting too, also, Sudesh, because I can't imagine a scenario in which it would be allowed for white colleagues to openly talk about, you know, how great white people are and how much smarter they are compared to other people. And yet you have dominant caste people doing this openly in the lunchroom. And I just think, like, outside of it being discrimination, it just sounds so boorish. Like, why would people do that? It's just, it seems like, you know, psychologically people need to understand that their cultures of impunity have allowed them to behave badly for so long that they can't even realize that they are behaving badly.
Suresh, our last question for you is about caste and friendships. Can you tell us if there was one incident that came up in the diaspora where there was like a caste slur and how you handled that?
Sure. We have a huge, the Indian diaspora, a lot of that is made up of these dominant castes or caste changes in the US. Now, what happened with me was that a lot of my friends as well, a lot of folks that I used to meet and hang out with, many of them were from upper caste communities. And not that they would bring up these conversations or these discussions with me. But one time there was one incident that where a caste slur was used, and I then had to, you know, do a sort of a course correction for them. So what happened was, we were all sitting together in a room. It was a weekend. It was a Friday night. And there were a bunch of us, about 7 to 8 of us, sitting in the room. We just had finished dinner. And then one of our friends showed up. And when that friend showed up, he was just taking his shoes off to come to the carpet in the living room, my friend's living space. And then this one particular friend looked at my friend who had just come into the room and said, "Hey, look at the way you're dressed. You know, are you a bhangi or what?" At that point, when I heard that from my friend, I was shocked, because I'd known this guy for a few years, and I had known him to be a very nice and kind person who wasn't casteist, to say the least, and at least I had not experienced that. So when he said, you know, "Are you bhangi hai kya?" That's what he said in Hindi, and what he basically meant was, "Why are you dressed up like a bhangi?" That slur was very offensive and was almost cruel. So at that point, I decided again that, okay, it's time to now essentially educate my friend, and maybe the other friends in the room, was just said was wrong, because all the other friends, you know, they just laughed it off casually, and they said, "Oh, you know, look at the way you're dressed." So then I said, "You know, why are you calling him a bhangi? You know, what's wrong with that?" And then he said, "Well, it's not like you are one." And then I said, "Okay, look, I'm a Dalit." And when I said that, he instantly got, you know, shocked, and he had a lot of remorse, like, you could tell from his face, and said, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry." And I said, "That's okay. Just, you know, hear me out now." So then I told him that when you use these words, for anybody who's a Dalit who's listening, you're essentially making them relive the history, the historical injustices over the past, what, you know, 2 to 3 millennia. And then I told him how the caste system was developed, how Manusmriti came into the dialogue with the Brahmins, and how these casteist institutions have shut down opportunity, have discriminated, have killed, have murdered, have raped, have butchered, and denied opportunities for all these centuries. And then I told my friends, when you say these things, it is a trigger. It's a trigger of all of those incidents for any Dalit. And it can be traumatizing for some of them. It can make somebody get really angry, upset, or all of these feelings. So when you say these things, you are perpetuating this horrible, unequal injustice in the system. And then, I give them a little bit of parallels with the Jim Crow laws here, with the African-American struggle and the racism in the U.S. So they, at least this friend who made this slur, the caste slur, the bhangi slur, he understood it. The other friends, they said, "Oh, wow, we didn't know that." So I felt they almost paid sort of lip service to that. They were disinterested in hearing that, or maybe in their mind, they agreed to the bhangi slur, but they didn't say anything explicitly to me. But my friend, when he said that, and I told him all of this, I gave him almost like a lecture. And he said, "Hey, thanks for educating me. I'm really sorry." And he apologized. And that was that. And after that, I didn't notice any particular changes with that person and his behavior towards me or his outlook in general. So we have still stayed friends, and he now believes in the Dalit cause.
That's such a powerful story, because I think the challenge comes around breaking the silence of caste is usually the burden of breaking that silence often falls only on Dalit and caste oppressed people's shoulders. And the call of this moment, I think, is that we really want dominant caste people to start making it their problem as well, because it actually originates from their community networks of privilege. And, what's so wonderful about this example is that Suresh, as listeners, you guys are hearing, Suresh is like a force of nature. He is not going to let any caste discrimination happen on his watch. And he is an articulate and very fierce, advocate for our people. But that said, I think that we don't need to always wait for a Dalit person to speak up when there is caste discrimination happening. Everyone can actually be an active participant in disrupting caste bigotry when it happens in front of you. And oftentimes, like when you do that, like you come up against Savarna or dominant caste fragility. And the experience of caste stress is so much for dominant caste people who have the privilege of not engaging with it. They might cry, they might shut down the conversation, they might turn it against you. And I think the point here is that we are not going to let this issue go away. Caste is here. There are millions of people whose lives are being impacted by it. And it is now our responsibility as society to collectively address it. And the outsized burden of taking this on has fallen to Dalit people. But in 2020, we're saying no more. It is now your problem, dominant caste people. You need to take this on, because again, you don't want your children watching you be bigoted. You don't want to live in a world where we're actually dismissing hundreds of millions of people and sentencing them to, widespread oppression. It's time. And I think people are hungry for a change. And I think like you, Suresh, you were saying, your friend was, out of his care for you. And also because he's a genuinely thinking person, was like, I don't want to be part of this violent system. That's gross, right?
Yep, absolutely. I'll agree with what you just said. Our time has now come. We cannot let this happen. We cannot let these casteist monsters keep oppressing us further. We need to stand up and we need to be fearless. Our folks are beautiful. Our folks are strong. And they're everywhere in the world. As long as we have that self-respect, we have the self-dignity, and we can tell ourselves that we are equal. Nobody can stop us. These casteist monsters, it's time for them to change as well. As Babasaheb said, as Dr. Ambedkar said, once you start seeing yourself and others as equal and you're free from this mental slavery of caste, then it's a beautiful world to live in. And it is as much an onus on us, but also on these caste Hindus, to free themselves of their mental slavery, which makes them also live a limited life. As long as they are in that mindset, it's their problem. And then that perpetuates that vicious cycle, this cruel cycle. So once we start treating everybody equal, and the Dalits, as we lead the charge, we spearhead this, there is no reason we cannot break these shackles in this 21st century.
And I just want to end our time here with Suresh with that thought and thank him and all of our listeners for tuning in and to join us for our next episode of Caste in the United States. Until then, Jai Bheem, everyone, and see you soon.
Jai Bheem.